Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news for December 30th. Fortunately, there's a little Ricky Gervais kerfluffle and a Sarah Cooper article. That'll be enough to fill today's podcast for sure. But admittedly, it is a little slow out there, as expected, between the holidays here. From The Independent, comedian Frankie Boyle calls Ricky Gervais lazy for trans people joke, saying, "I would like him to have the same respect for trans people as he has for animals." The Scottish comedian was on Lewis Thurow's podcast, and he discussed his career, his views on comedy and woke culture, and Ricky Gervais. During the podcast, Thurow referenced Boyle's TV comedy special, Excited for You to See and Hate This, in which he took a swipe at fellow comedian Ricky Gervais over his jokes about trans people. In the special, Boyle referenced Gervais' own bit from his 2018 Netflix special Humanity, where he repeated Caitlyn Jenner's dead name and then suggested a trans person was like him, self-identifying as a chimpanzee. Boyle said, "My genuine reaction was, it's not that much weirder than Ricky Gervais saying that he's a stand-up comedian. I mean, look, we know Ricky Gervais, he's a brilliant actor, he's a brilliant writer, but he's not an effing stand-up comedian. Just because Ricky Gervais self-identifies as a stand-up comedian, am I supposed to say that he is one? It's effing political correctness gone mad. I thought his routine about trans people was very lazy. I would like him to have the same respect for trans people as he has for animals. I think that's not a lot to ask." So let's jump from The Independent to Chortle, who says Boyle has been accused of hypocrisy after calling out Gervais. Boyle's comments brought criticism from his own reputation, and in particular, gags about Katy Price's disabled son, Harvey. Comic Constantine Kissin tweeted, "Frankie Boyle criticizing Ricky Gervais for offensive jokes is a brilliant finish to 2020. It's a pity Ricky doesn't have a disabled son. Otherwise, Frankie could have done a brilliant takedown about him licking windows or something equally tasteful." Jonathan Pye, the blunt-speaking alter ego of Tom Walker, posted, "Wait, is this the Frankie Boyle who's now having a pop at Ricky Gervais for telling problematic jokes? The same Frankie Boyle who established his career by telling jokes about a severely disabled child? Because if it is, several million hypocrisy meters have just melted." Another Twitter user, Liam Gray, posted, "The irony that Frankie Boyle, who's built a career from bullying a disabled kid and his mom, thinks Ricky Gervais is a wrong-un for having the opinion that women shouldn't lose rights because of the actions of trans people is peak 2020. Twitter user Merry Christmas said, "I'd like Frankie Boyle to have the same respect for women that he has for trans women. I saw him live and lost count of the number of hilarious rape jokes. I've never heard Ricky Gervais make a rape joke concerning women, trans women, or animals, just saying." Chortle points out that Andy Kindler used his annual State of the Industry address at Montreal's Just for Laughs to call Ricky out in the past, saying, "Ricky Gervais isn't afraid to go after the persecuted, and more bluntly, he's a despicable person." We'll see if Ricky decides to jump into the little fracas here. This is fun. From Variety, George Lopez has joined the cast of Dito Montiel's Afterward. Say that three times fast. It's unclear what role Lopez will play in the drama. The film centers on a father's struggle to deal with the passing of his daughter, which leads him on a quest for truth and justice against corruption and small-town politics. That doesn't sound funny at all, George Lopez. All right, Sarah Cooper. This from The Verge. I know there's a lot of new listeners here. I've been advertising the podcast on Overcast. If you discovered the podcast this week, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe. So if you don't know who Sarah Cooper is, Sarah Cooper, she's the woman that pantomimes on TikTok to Donald Trump videos. And I'll just catch all the new listeners up. I lose my mind because she's on every, like, oh my God, she's the greatest comedian in the world list of 2020. And, you know, the first video there where she pantomimed to Donald Trump on TikTok is kind of fun. And, you know, that doesn't exactly make her George Carlin. And then she had a Netflix special, which if you watched it, isn't funny. Sorry. I know I'm not down with the program here. Vulture said, "You had a big 2020. How are you thinking about it?" Sarah Cooper, you know Sarah, she pantomimes to Donald Trump on TikTok. She said, "It's been the biggest year of my career. I'm actually working on things for the first time in my life that I'm so excited to be working on. I'm doing right now what I've always wanted to do. And it's so weird to feel that way about this year, but also feel like F2020, can't wait till it's over. At first, when I started making the Trump videos, I didn't really know how they fit in with everything else I was doing. Then looking back, it was like, oh yeah, everything he does is this performance that he's putting on. That's the through line of everything that I do. We're all sort of putting on a show. I had this idea when I was like 21 that I was going to make a blog called My Life on Stage because I always felt like when I was performing, wherever I went, work is just like a prime place for that kind of thing, especially in tech because you're there because you're being paid because it's a job. But in tech, you're also supposed to be very passionate and excited about everything constantly. That was kind of what led to me leaving Google, really. I felt like I was leading this double life. I was so much more passionate about writing than what I was doing at work. And yet I had to be a manager, which means being a cheerleader, which means talking about how this is the greatest thing we're doing. The project we're working on right now is so important, and it's going to change the world and all these things. And I just didn't feel that way. I can relate, Sarah. Like, I know sometimes there are, like, you know, things in comedy that people are like, this is the greatest thing ever. And, like, I just don't feel that way. Sarah said, I had my own blog for a while, thecooperreview.com. Ooh, wait, is this a thing? I'm clicking on this. Thecooperreview.com. Oh my God, thecooperreview.com. Funny because it's true. This exists. Whoa, I'm not going to have to worry about filling the podcast this week at all. Oh my. And this is great. The latest How to Use Finance Words to Sound Smart has zero views. I'm recording this at 12:34 p.m. on December 29th. How to Pretend You Love Your Secret Santa Gift has zero views. I'm not making this up. I'm staring at this. It says zero views. A Day in the Life of Junior Goldman Stearns Exec in Training, zero views. Try Saving Suggestions for Female Employees has zero views. Business Jargon Bracket, guess how many views, right? Zero. The 5 Smartest Excuses to Get Out of Work has zero views. This website must be broken, right? The view counter has to be broken. It's not possible. None of these have a view. Here, I'm going to click on 12 Awards I Deserve as Your Office Millennial. It has zero views. Yeah, it must be broken because this says it has zero views, 27 shares. Unless people are sharing without viewing it. Let me go back to the homepage. Yep, it still says zero views. Whew. Okay. You know, as much as a huge fan I am of Sarah Cooper, if there were like every article on this page had zero views, even I would feel bad. All right, we're going to dive in on Sarah Cooper's The Cooper Review at some point, but not today. Back to the article. I had my own blog for a while, thecooperreview.com. One thing I noticed from creating blogs is it's really hard to create an audience from scratch. Even when the blog went viral, it did. When did it go viral? When was that? A lot of these social platforms have built-in ways of sharing and built-in ways of creating audiences. So I realized it was a lot easier to try to build an audience through Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. That's why I tried TikTok. Everyone was doing it. I had nothing better to do. But Vultra said, hey, you moved away from TikTok's editing tool. When did that happen and why? Sarah said, and you know Sarah, she pantomimes to Donald Trump on TikTok sometimes when not doing her excellent blog. TikTok's editing tool is very chronological. I have different characters in my videos. It's not like I could shoot all of one character, all the other character, then edit them together. It was really like me sequentially, like now I'm Trump, now I'm the person responding to Trump, now I'm Trump again. But when I want to do anything longer than 60 seconds, it was more complicated. I think the first one I did on my own without TikTok was Don Jr. interviewing his dad for Father's Day. Then I did person, woman, two-man camera, and that was just a longer video, almost 2 minutes. You can't make anything over 60 seconds on TikTok, so I just had my own little hacky way of lip-syncing and recording myself and editing it in Final Cut. Oh, there's so much more here, but I'm sure you're tired of hearing me ranting about Sarah Cooper today, so we'll take a break, come back, and tell you about Brett Goldstein. I feel like the rhythm of the show is off today. Let me dive into my filler folder. Parade did some quick takes with Jerry Seinfeld. Let's see if I get back on track here. Parade asked Jerry, comic book or library book? Comic book, because it was heaven to me. Archie and Riverdale, those are words you go into in a heartbeat because of their infantile drawings. Jerry's least favorite breakfast food? A poached egg. I love hard-boiled. Hate poached. Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers, or the Three Stooges? Jerry said. Definitely not the Stooges. Harpo Marx was my favorite, but Abbott and Costello's Who's on First routine is an incredible jazz progression. They taught me the structural elegance of writing. Jerry's favorite late-night snack? Frosted Flakes. His childhood toy he wished he still had? I still have my ventriloquist dummy, but I don't have my baseball cards and my comic books, and I'd love to get those back. Cat or dog? Dog. I have two dogs, but they're not real dogs. They're dachshunds. But my wife has two cats, and I love hearing her have conversations with them. So wait, his wife has two cats? Do you not live together? Like, how does that work? Like, you have two cats, Jerry. What are you talking about? Words to live by. Balance and color and texture. Not sure what Jerry's going for there. Favorite article of clothing, Jerry Seinfeld? Right now, my Timberland 3i Classic Lug shoes. I just started wearing them, and they're incredibly well made, and the composition of the rubber sole is so perfect for your feet. I can't believe I've gone so much of my life without them. They're better than tennis shoes. Wait, tennis shoes? Jerry Seinfeld, you're from Queens. Whoa, 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 whoa. They're better than tennis shoes? You're from Queens. Sneakers. What is this? I'm going to do a whole episode on this. They're better than tennis shoes, which people from Queens who grew up in New York City call sneakers, Jerry Seinfeld. They're just better for walking around because of the compound of the rubber. It is just enough cushion, and yet there's a firmness. I'm a very foot-oriented person. I'm getting back to this for sure. All right, Vulture wrote about Brett Goldstein's podcast, Films to be Buried With. Have you checked this one out yet? It's a lot of fun. I listened to the Patton Oswalt episode last night. It was a really good listen. You know Brett, I just went into my circuitry. You know Brett, he plays the surly soccer player on Ted Lasso. I'm afraid now to say that you know, because it just turns into my Sarah Cooper bit. But hey, it's a bit, right? You know Brett. He's the surly player on Ted Lasso. I like Brett a lot. I like Ted Lasso. New listeners, Ted Lasso, Ted Lasso, Ted Lasso. You need to watch that. Brett Goldstein has created something truly remarkable, a lively podcast built around a stock set of seemingly simple questions that in application reveal a deceptive brilliance. The most concise logline of the show is that each week a celebrity guest is brought on, told that they have died, and then their life is explored through the films that meant the most to them. Format-wise, it's a bit of a cross between This Is Your Life and Desert Island Discs, but not nearly as musty as that might sound. It's Goldstein's questions, the same dozen or so for every guest, are the show's X Factor. Those questions: what are the first film you remember seeing? What films made you cry the most? What is the film you most relate to? Their seeming innocuousness disarms guests and listeners and elicits a sort of autonomic autobiography. One can't just name a film and move on without explaining the details surrounding their answer. Some examples: Sharon Stone raves about her love for the movie Triple X and how it led her to stalk and harass Vin Diesel at a party. Kate Berlant gushes about her arousal while imagining the ugly sex that Christopher Lloyd and Joan Cusack's characters in Adam's Family Values must have had. And in perhaps the show's most shocking moment, Miranda Cosgrove talks about how going to see Pitch Perfect 3 likely saved her from being murdered. Wait, what? I can check that out. It is called Films to be Buried With. It is available wherever you get your podcast. If you haven't checked it out yet, you should. And that's your daily comedy news for today. A little of a weird episode today, but hey, slow news week. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your shows. Catch you tomorrow.